Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another Super Rugby podcast with your hosts, Damien Warren and...
Toby Harris.
Toby. It's the it's the standard way we start the podcast.
Why has it become a standard way? I don't like it.
Well, apparently, it's the best way we start the podcast.
Really? Who's told you that? All of our one listener.
But it has been another excellent round of rugby, although no internationals.
No, but Northern Hemisphere rugby has actually been exciting, which I thought I'd never say ever in my life. But it is.
I would say one of the games is very exciting.
Maybe one game.
But in general, without Super Rugby on, I have been watching more Bunnings NPC, and it's still good rugby. But we're going to go over that all a little bit later. We're going to start with our messages from our supporters.
Yes, I'll read out this one, shall I? Hi, boys. Love the podcast, and thanks for doing it weekly, even though it's a chore looking at your face. I loved in last week's podcast hearing you eat humble pie in relation to Geordie Barrett. Glad it's not England. I have thought for a long time that he is a great player, and finally, you two have seen the light. Go, Geordie.
Can I?
I feel about it.
We haven't seen any light. There's a lot of you to say.
He also hasn't left his name, so that's lucky.
I would say that I agree. At the moment, he's playing really good rugby.
Very good rugby.
But I'm not judging a player from a few games. If he can keep it up and stay as reliable as he stayed.
Yes.
Because before, he used to do good things and then he'd do something ridiculous.
Yes. Yeah.
It was almost every game he did something ridiculous.
Yes.
Whereas now, I can't remember.
He's had a few games where it's like, I can't really think of anything that he's done wrong.
Yes.
So he needs to keep that up.
The only thing I would say is, have we seen him making try-saving tackles like when Bowden plays, when Damien McKenzie plays.
Yeah, true.
So I would say, without going into too much detail and without looking at him, I haven't seen him defensively anywhere near as strong as the other two that have played there regularly.
Yeah, true. Ben Smith, we've got to look back at him.
Yeah,
defensively,
very, very
he was sound. You know, we've had normally very good 15s who are
covering that corner flag. Covering that corner flag.
You think about Damien McKenzie, every game he'd have one or two try-saving tackles.
Or Bowden Barrett, like, holding them up over the line type thing.
You know, calling ice and going for that corner flag.
Calling what?
Ice.
And what's that?
Oh, that was a call that we used to have.
Calling ice.
Oh, it was just ice. The ice call where you're like, you just pin back for the corner flag, try and cut them off.
Very good, mate. I like how you're educating me on the calls of rugby.
One call. You've probably called it something else. It's just different.
It is. No, listen, let's not get ahead of ourselves. Are you a Geordie Barrett fan? He's becoming a guilty pleasure, I would say. He's becoming a guilty pleasure. He's not my favourite.
I'm a married man.
I may never fully admit that he's my favourite.
He's not my favourite.
But I'm starting to come round to him.
No, he's not my favourite.
No.
He's a good player. Don't get me wrong.
He's never going to be my favourite.
Thank you. Good.
And I would never admit that he was my favourite, even if he was my favourite.
Thank you. We're on the same page with that.
Correct.
Then.
Up next, mate, we're doing some
breaking news.
Kindly supported by Super XV.
Yeah, they're everything rugby.
If you want to buy a house overlooking a rugby pitch, you can't go there for that. But well, everything else,
sometimes,
they've got it covered.
I mean, it depends what you've been searching up, because they've got quite a few ads on quite a few ads on their website. So if you've been looking for houses, then they might pop up.
I know this is going off topic, but you know, not much of the podcast is on topic. But I've always wanted a house to retire in overlooking a rugby pitch. Like, some people would be put off by that. That would be fantastic. Sitting out in the balcony, watching some rugby, amazing.
Maybe not necessarily a rugby pitch, but I think a sports pitch.
What about cricket?
International sports ground, yes.
Yes.
Then that would be okay. But maybe not village cricket.
No, because they're not that's village. That's village.
Yes. What about soccer football?
No.
No, okay. No. You said just rugby.
Just rugby, because I can appreciate even like little kids rugby type thing.
Yeah, you can see a cool play as well, can't
yeah.
you?
I could be scouts. I could be a scout, couldn't I?
Oh, how up about there. That?
Might be a little bit weird, eh? The old guy with his clipboard hanging over top of the
Mate,
balcony.
You already are weird.
Making
so
notes
it's all
about
good.
Little kids playing rugby.
We're talking about their skills, by the way, not just their appearance.
Get a knock at the door. Police here.
Damo, give us your notes.
So, mate, first up.
It's almost along the same lines, though, isn't it? Men in tights.
No. Oh, okay. You're going to go jumping straight in.
Yeah,
I'll
go straight in.
Go for
ice,
it, mate.
Ice.
Go for it.
Men in tights. So, a new law has come in from World Rugby saying that male players, and I'm guessing female players, or were they already allowed to?
Female players were already allowed to,
okay. Yeah. So now male players are allowed to wear tights or skins, whatever.
Aren't they the same thing?
Well, I guess so.
You're not
so.
Going to wear pantyhose out there, are you?
You might, though. They might. You might have done.
Maybe you would.
I already do.
Do you like my pantyhose, lads?
I already
tights
do.
Are allowed now.
They're under my tracksuit trousers. No, so they are now allowed to play in tights or leggings, whatever, during rugby match. How do you feel about that?
When I first read this, the first thing that came to mind was to help little kids in rugby, right? Yeah. So I thought, okay, they're making it legal.
But little kids were already allowed to.
No, they weren't.
Well, school kids do.
Yeah, but that was only because common sense prevailed.
Yeah.
They weren't supposed to.
Right, okay.
So I thought they've changed the rule to allow all kids to be able to wear, keep warm in the winter, right? Not the case. Actually, the main reason why they're doing it is because when you're playing on these plastic pitches, when you're playing on pitches with very hard ground, it stops kids from getting abrasions.
Yeah.
Not kids, but even
adults.
Even adults, professional sports people.
Well, you think about some of Scotland pitches. Yep. Saracens have an artificial pitch as well, don't they? So
I actually think it's a good change.
Yeah.
A lot of people might say it's a bit soft and, you know, rugby's going soft. But actually, you know, we want to play on these 4G pitches. But playing on them is not an enjoyable experience.
No, God. Have you played on them before?
Yeah, not nice. And unless you get a real, real
like
good
a good
one.
Quality pitch.
And it's rained and it's got a little bit of slickness to it, then it can be brutal on the body. So I think it's a great thing, mate.
Yeah.
Bring it on.
No.
Bring it on. It might get me out of retirement if I can wear those pantyhose, mate, while I'm playing.
Wow. What's your first news story, bud?
Fiji juror. I'm liking the story because it's they've got five new forwards signed to bolster the engine room. That's not what I'm liking. I'm liking the fact that it looks like they've got their stuff together and they're signing players to be ready for the Super Rugby comp. My fear is that they won't be fully ready and they're going to get flogged this year.
Wow. I mean, I think they're going to get flogged anyway, you know. Who's their coach, the Fiji Jura team? Because the Pacifica team is Aaron Major, you know.
Really? That's a good shout, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm not actually sure about the Fiji Jura coach.
No.
But I do know that possibly Fern Cotton, being the full Fijian coach, is going to be having quite a lot to do with it. Yeah,
because it is pretty much going to be the Fijian team, bar a few, isn't it?
I don't think so.
Do you not? Oh, to be fair, there's a load of them in Europe, isn't there?
There's a load of the best Fijian players playing in Europe. So these will be the young guns.
Which will be fantastic for Fiji and rugby, though.
But if they're going to get beat every week, it's going to be a tough pill to swallow. And I'm not sure how you... I would say what New Zealand and Australia could do to bolster them a little bit is to allow some of their fringe players the opportunity to transfer, you know, do a transfer to Fiji Jura. Maybe someone like Liam Messam, who I know he's not Fijian, or... But, you know, someone that's near, like Liam, who's obviously a Māori, but someone with a Fijian or Samoan heritage, to be able to get transferred to those two teams, just to bolster them, giving them that experience that they need. Because I think that's going to be the big thing, is the experience that, you know, a player like Liam Messam would bring to your squad.
But, you know, if you think about the Sunwolves.
Yeah.
They, you know, only they, just, to be fair, they got thrashed. They got beaten quite often.
Yeah.
But then when it came to the international team...
They did great. Well, they did a lot better.
They did a lot better, yeah.
I think...
Well, they did do just great. Getting Japan at the World Cup.
Yeah, they were just getting their act together, weren't they?
Yes.
You and know, then, and then it was like, boom.
Yeah, bye.
See you later, guys. Thanks. Thanks for all your hard work and, you know, all the stuff you've done for World Rugby.
Yeah.
But now you're gone. Sad story. Now, I have to be honest, I've shied away a little bit from the full Fijian Jura story because I can't pronounce any of the names. I was actually going to give that one to you.
Let's not try.
But they are talking about, you know, they're getting in young guys from New Zealand who are coming over. So it's going to be great. It's going to be great for New Zealand rugby, Fijian rugby, Australian. There's no losers here unless they really, really get hammered on the pitch. Yeah. And I think... New Zealand rugby, Australian rugby, if they can look after them, they should.
Well, it's almost, you know, going, you know, you're saying give the experienced people to the Fijians. Why not almost flip it on its head and go, right, the Chiefs are playing Fiji, let's play our almost academy players.
Yes.
Let's give them a run at, you know, the highest level of sort of club rugby. In the Southern Hemisphere, really.
Yeah.
And let's see how they act. Let's see how they react. Let's see how they, you know, deal with the pressure.
Yeah, I mean...
Give them a chance.
And weekly pressure as well.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
You know, because that's a little bit of where, you know, the Fijian national side can always produce one-off performances.
Yes.
But has struggled in the past to produce match and...
No, but I'm saying for like the Chiefs. Play their fringe players, and then you know when it comes to a harder game, then they
put out the big guns.
Yes,
yeah, absolutely.
I mean, and in all fairness, we could be talking out our backside, and Fiji might absolutely drum everyone.
Can't see it, mate.
Can't see it happening. No, but
not the first,
but it could be a lot closer than we're thinking.
It could be.
You know,
like the Whipping Boys were the Japanese side.
Yes,
they Sun were. Wolves, and then. The last year, they started to beat some of the better teams. Well, they started to beat some of the teams, didn't they?
Or do better against the teams.
Hey, what's your next story?
Sonia McLaughlin.
Yes.
Says social media abuse won't stop her asking tough questions. So she's a reporter. She's a broadcaster.
Yeah.
And she goes straight to the point, doesn't she?
Well, yeah, she should go straight to the point. And I hope that means that she's not going to stop asking the tough questions. But
I mean, she's getting quite a lot of online abuse. I couldn't necessarily tell you what it is because I don't necessarily want to repeat it on here, but it's not very nice.
No, I find this a bit difficult because she asks questions, right? And this is the bit that I don't like.
No, but she's asking questions that a lot of us are thinking.
Yeah, no, I understand that. But what people at home don't understand is she's asking questions that if the coaches or the players answer honestly, then they will get fined.
Yeah, okay, yeah,
so,
I get that.
You know, and arguably these reporters know that. They know that the coaches shouldn't talk about the referee
decisions.
That's
the story though, isn't it? That's the story. They're prodding the bear, they're poking the bear, they're probing, aren't they? Because they want to make a story out of it.
I know, but is that right?
No, of course not. But she's just doing her job. That's her job.
Yeah,
to poke the bear in a way.
Yeah, but what I'm trying to... I get your point. But what I'm trying to say is she's asking questions that she knows they can't answer because they'll get fined.
Yeah.
But she's asking them anyway.
Yeah, of course she is because she wants a reaction.
I just think it's just poor taste either way.
I think it's poor taste
that people are going on and abusing reporters for asking questions.
Yeah.
I think it's actually poor taste that World Rugby is silencing, you know, in a sort of interview process. They can't speak their mind.
No, of course they can't.
They can't say they felt hard done by.
No.
Because they'll get fined.
Well, the thing is that instead of, let's say, World Rugby or whoever's organising the reporting for that game, why don't they pick an ex-player
to speak to them
rather than a broadcaster or a reporter because the reporter is going to ask the questions that can't be answered, whereas an ex-player is going, right, I know that I can't necessarily ask him that. I know that I can ask him that, though.
Yeah.
So like, I'm going to ask him that.
Who's the longs in the shower, lads?
You know, who drops the soap?
That's what we all want to know.
That's what we all used to do. Wow, what is that?
Is that a snake?
Oh, who bought the baby arm in?
Holding an apple.
Village, mate, what's your next one?
I can't get my mind out of the gutter. Next on, mate, I've got, it's another Fijian story, Nandolo.
Yeah.
Nandolo says that he's potentially, Harry said he wasn't going to be going for the next World Cup. Actually, now he's had a son, Ethan, and that has relighted his fire.
Ethan?
Yeah. His son,
interesting.
His son, Ethan. Well,
How old is Nandolo?
He's like 55. He's still out there, isn't he?
200 stone.
He is like so big, isn't he?
He's a big guy.
But do you reckon he's relit his fire for the money to pay for Ethan's private schooling? Or is it genuinely his passion for Fijian rugby? Because they're not going to get paid much money to play for Fiji, are they?
No, but he'll get paid low. Is he at Leicester?
He is, yeah.
He'll get paid loads there. And Leicester are actually doing...
Very, very well. Is he at Leicester or has he moved?
The powerhouse Leicester wing. Yes. So he is still at Leicester, I believe.
I loved him. He played for Canterbury.
Oh, and he was a great guy, wasn't he?
He was great, eh?
We thought he was going to be the next Jonah, didn't we? Size, pace.
No, he wasn't that quick.
But he wasn't as quick, was he?
No, we're near as quick.
No.
Couldn't hold a candle to Jonah.
No, you're right.
Couldn't hold a candle to him. But yeah, he was. And do you know what I liked about Nandolo was? He just did stuff that no one else could do at the time.
Like, oh, especially for his size. He was so mobile. Like he was a prop playing on the wing. Or a lock. Second row.
A big eight.
Too big for eight.
Too big for eight. Yeah, you're right. Like a lock.
Yeah.
But a bit of a...
Second row, a booty lock.
Like... Bucky Svota.
Nah, he's bigger.
Bigger.
Nandolo's heavier.
It's a bit.
Nah, I can't think. He's almost like a Billy Vonnepola, isn't he? So, yeah, number eight.
Yeah, yeah, okay, got you. Got you there. Like that. So, yeah, so you see, he might come out of retirement.
Oh, so he's retired?
No, international.
Oh, international, yes, sorry, yep.
He hung the old international boots up.
Yeah.
I just think it'd be great. Like, I'd love to do something that my kids are proud of.
Yeah.
And I think when he talks about relighting his fire for the game, I think, you know, leaving that legacy for his kids, you know, that he was a Fijian great is something that, you know, would definitely light my fire, mate.
Wow.
Plus the benefits of playing in a World Cup.
Oh, like you've got
the free kit.
The free kit. And the free travel.
Yeah.
You've got one more story here, Mush.
I do. This worries me, right? This worries me. So Wales without at least 21 key players for All Blacks clash.
So the squad.
Yeah, like all, you know, that means that literally the coaches are going to be ringing up like grandmothers and, you know.
Excuse me, is your 12-year-old son or 12-year-old grandson there for us to...
Has he got his boots?
Damien's actually scouted him, I believe, at the local ground.
from his balcony.
He's got some great legs on him.
So they're talking about, you know, all of these. I mean, I just can't see it happening. And if it does happen, it's just such a rubbish. Like, New Zealand are coming a long way. They're going through, having to go through.
Is that because the Premiership clubs won't release them?
It's a range of things.
Right.
It's a range of things. But yeah, there's injuries. There's the fact that Premiership clubs won't release players. There's the fact that they've got clashes, as in clubs might release them, but they'll release them too late to make it, you know, really worth
viable.
Yeah. So it's going to be just an embarrassment. And I don't mean that as a scoreline. I just mean, you know, New Zealand are coming a long way.
Yeah.
They're playing their autumn internationals. And if you're not playing Wales's best team, then who's going to go and watch? I mean, maybe they still will pull a crowd, but
I still think they'll get a good turnout, but because that's Welsh rugby, they're absolutely froth over it, don't they? They're mad on it. But I think, you know, I think you're right. I don't think it's necessarily the scoreline, because it might not be the scoreline, but it's, you know, if it isn't the scoreline, then you could almost say, well, if Wales had their full team, they could have won. You know, it could be a what if.
Yeah, I mean, Wales have, you know, they've always had a decent starting 15, haven't they? But
not much depth.
They do struggle with depth. So 21 players out for them is just unsustainable.
Definitely.
So, yeah, I mean, it does seem like many, many of them are missing due to injury. So they've just had an absolute, you know, shocker with injuries, that's for sure. Mate, it's time for the results.
It is.
So, it is. Do you want to go through the Premiership?
Yeah, for sure. So, the Wasps had a 26-20 win over the Northampton Saints. Exeter Chiefs.
You say Exeter Cheats.
Yeah, no, Chiefs. Exeter Chiefs finally have found their rhythm, haven't they?
I mean, they are playing the Worcester Warriors.
I know, but they beat...
Bargain basement.
Cheers, B&Q. 42-5 against the Worcester Warriors. Gloucester had a very good win over the Sale Sharks, 33-32.
Yeah, at home. And, you know, Sale Sharks came back strong in that match.
Game of two halves again. Leicester Tigers, once again, have beaten the London Irish 21-16. Saracens, 37-23 against Newcastle Falcons. That's kind of put Saracens
back.
They kind of needed that, didn't they?
They did, yeah.
They did need that.
They did, yeah.
And then Harlequins thrashing Bristol.
Which we'll get on to.
52-24.
A bit later. We'll talk about that a little bit later. So at the moment, we've got Leicester in first, Harlequins second, Northampton Saints, and then Gloucester. So yeah. Gloucester are up there.
Yeah.
Which is pretty impressive considering where they've come from.
Well, you look at the bottom three. You've got London Irish, who did okay last year.
That's right, yeah.
And then you've got Bristol Bears, who are second from the bottom, and then Bath.
Yeah, which would be really...
So Worcester Warriors, they're not doing that badly. You know, you bagged them.
Mate, they're still rubbish.
Yes.
All right, going over to the Bunnings NPC, we've got a good victory to Manawatu, 38-27 against Southland. Otago losing a tight one against the Naki, 30-23. Hawke's Bay, possibly the surprise of the Bunnings NPC, 34-22 to Tasman, who I know they have a lot of players in the All Blacks squad. which is holding them back. But Wellington, narrow
extra victory, time.
Extra time. Wellington beating Canterbury at home.
Why has it gone extra time?
Because it was drawn, mate.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
That's normally what happens when it's like, oh, you're losing by five. Oh, you can have a few more minutes, mate.
No, but not in a normal game.
Oh, yeah, but this is the rules.
Yeah,
so
the rules have changed.
No game's a draw.
Yeah.
Unless
it's a draw after each time. So you're wrong. So in the Premiership division.
Can I just say, that is so rugby.
That's village for
no
you.
No game's a draw, unless you're drawing after each time. And it is a draw.
So Premiership division, the top three are Hawke's Bay, Tasman and Waikato. So those three are very, very close points-wise. There's only one between all of them. And then the Championship division.
Whoa. Wellington are fourth.
Yes.
So they're in the playoffs at the moment.
Yeah.
And Canterbury are tied on the same amount of points.
Points difference. Well, I didn't even see that.
Mate, the Knack.
Yeah, the Knack. Sorry, the Knack. Manawatu and Northland. But I tell you what, Northland, Otago, North Harbour and Southland all could get in there.
Do you know what, though? You got Otago there,
points
right?
Points-wise.
You got Otago, super rugby club. Languishing in fourth position in the Championship.
And why and has Auckland and
because of COVID, mate. Yeah, because of COVID.
Wow, they've only been able to play two. Auckland, you got North Harbour there as well.
Yeah, so they can't play.
Right, brilliant.
So it's even worse for Otago.
Definitely.
You know, they should have done a lot better.
Yeah.
Done a lot better.
Southland on a good run.
South now, mate. Over to the United Rugby Championship, the best named competition in all of rugby.
Are you going through those?
Yeah, well, Scarlets losing to Munster, 43-13. Cardiff Rugby versus the Bulls, Bulls win 29-19, which is good for them. The Dragons have a victory over Connacht, 35-22. Edinburgh and Stormers draw. If that game was in New Zealand, mate, there wouldn't be a draw.
But just look at that. First half, 20-all. Second half, 0-all. Oh, disgusting game.
Did everyone just go home? Then we've got Glasgow beating the Lions, 13. Again, that just shows you know, these South African teams, they are struggling, aren't
they?
Because
are.
Glasgow aren't, like, super hot.
No.
13-9. Leinster, 43-7 to them against Zebre. The Ospreys losing to the Sharks, 27-13. And Ulster, a good victory over Benetton, 28-8, which puts Munster on the top, Ulster in second. I'm just going to
Leinster in three.
And so, Glasgow in
yeah,
four.
So those top three haven't lost a match.
No.
So, you know, wait until they play each other, then it'll start to even it all out, won't it?
Well, mate, what caught your eye? I've gone here, fat fly halves.
Fat fly halves. Well, you think about, you've put his name down, I was just about to kill it for you, mate. You go.
Andy Goode.
Yeah.
Andy Goode is the last fat fly half that's
he's
played.
He's not playing, though.
But he played international rugby, proper fat, right? I love it. Can I just say, this is not a go. I love a fat fly half. The Taranaki... was exceptional on the weekend.
Really?
And he's not Andy Goode-esque.
Okay.
But he's so not a professional rugby player. No.
I love
he just
that.
Doesn't look
so does,
like
does
he
just
be.
Sort of pass and...
Oh, mate, dummy. Through the gap.
Really?
Pass in,
well,
pass
you think
out.
About 2011 World Cup final.
Piriwipu.
No, I mean, yeah, he was fat, yeah. Loved a pie or three. Mince and cheese, please. Extra cheese. Hold the mince. You've absolutely made a hash of that. Hash
more,
brown.
More pastry. Me, more pastry.
Oh, mate. That was...
Than filling.
Nah. That was really bad.
Question for you. When you have a pie.
The beaver.
No, mate. This is important.
Oh, sorry.
This is really
pie. Pie-related really question.
Pie-related question. When you've got pie, do you put the tomato sauce on the top?
In it.
or did you take some off and put it in it?
No. Nah, do you know what they used to do at school?
Cut them open. I know. Put the nozzle in. Fill the nozzle up.
So at school, we used to have a thing called a pie nammy. Pie nammy, which is just a pie sandwich. And it used
pies,
to be
this sounds
two
amazing.
Pieces of white bread with the pie in the middle.
Oh, I thought you were going to go two pies on top of each other with some tomato sauce in the middle.
Nah, but what
that
used
would
to
be
do,
amazing.
If you wanted to go deluxe, though, pay the extra five cents, butter it, mate. Oh, absolutely fire. So you'd have your buttered bit, pie on top, and then you'd stick the nozzle and go, squeeze it in, another bit of bread on top with butter. Ooh. Honestly, good.
Can I just say there's nothing deluxe about a, what is it? A pie sami.
Pie nami. Honestly, they were so good. And you'd get like steak and cheese, mince and cheese, mince pie. Oh my gosh. That's what they used to sell at the cafeteria. Our school was famous for it. Honestly, world renowned.
You've peaked there, mate. You peak for that world.
Harlequin's game.
Oh, yeah, mate.
How good was it? Just to change the subject completely.
Well, I think we should stay on that for longer. Well, the Harlequin's game, halftime was 24-7 to Bristol.
Yeah, they must have been laughing.
Well, I think Pat Lamb has potentially lost all will to live after the second half. 45 points to nil.
I know.
And they were, I mean, Harlequins, to be fair, in the first half, just things didn't come off.
Yeah.
But in that second half, they just ran riot. Danny Kerr, again, I'm saying this.
Danny Kerr has to be in the squad.
He won't be, though, because of the great leader, Eddie Steady.
Steady Eddie. Yeah.
But, you know, Marcus Smith, exceptional.
Yeah.
A big, big South African centre. Playing for South Africa,
right.
Distinctly average. Playing for Harlequins, amazing.
Really,
and then you know you just got quality all over the pitch for them. They've got that. I mean, you know, Nick Evans running their attack lines. They've obviously got Tabai Matson now.
Yeah.
Running their, full setup there.
Yeah.
I'm not really going to give him much credit because last year they played fantastic rugby as well. You know, without him.
He's come into quite a good squad, hasn't he?
He has, yeah. But, you know, if you were new to rugby and you watched that match, you'd be like, wow. And it does show, in the right conditions, with the right mindsets, two New Zealand coaches, as in, what I'm saying is Tabai Matson and
Nick Evans,
and then, God, you've just left me now. The Bristol coach is also, you know, from New Zealand. Pat Lamb,
yeah,
New Zealand heritage there as well. You know, that mindset of playing, running rugby, you know, it can happen in...
But it is happening, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. So, you know, you look at Exeter and you say, okay, they're not like a running team.
Yeah.
But they still play attractive rugby, you know, at times. You've definitely got Northampton Saints who play attractive rugby.
Yeah.
Wasps try and play attractive rugby. In fact, most teams, barring Sale Sharks and possibly the Newcastle Falcons, play a less attractive style, but on the whole, it's good rugby to watch.
Yeah.
And I think the owners are doing a good job of trying to buy good players, some of the world's best players, keep hold of them and play some great rugby.
Definitely.
So that definitely caught my eye, mate.
You've got here Quadzilla.
Umunga Jensen, mate. Umunga
Jensen. Has he put on a bit of weight, has he?
In a good way.
Yeah.
In a good way. He has seriously hit the gym. I've never seen a transformation like it.
Really?
Haven't seen him play for a while.
Because he was an All Black.
He was an All Black last year.
Yes.
And he's quite a big,
he was all right.
He's a big guy,
yes.
But he wasn't huge.
No.
Unbelievable now.
Is he?
Like, he has been, I think he must have got a personal trainer that's
fed him carbs.
No, it's good weight. He's big. And I don't mean he looks big
built
and fast and agile.
Good.
He looks like he's...
Who does he play for?
Wellington.
Oh, okay.
And he was the one that really won the game
in
extra time for them. But even in, during the game, you know, he had some explosive runs. I'm saying watch out for him. Watch out for him because I think he got a taste of the All Blacks and possibly has felt a little bit hard done by to stay in, and he could have a great super season.
Yeah. Who else has got quadzillas in the time of rugby? One's jumping out at me.
Jonah Lomo.
Well, he was beyond quadzilla.
Oh,
Luke McAllister.
Oh, yeah. He had some massive quads, didn't he?
So big.
Unstrangely big.
Yes.
Unusually big. Who else? You'd say, this guy called Johnny Leo, right, who played for the Sevens team. He had ridiculous quads. They're like, the muscle was so big around the kneecap.
It like folded over.
Fell over the top of it. Absolutely amazing.
But like cyclists.
Because Richie Mwanga's got a good set of...
Yeah, he's got some big legs too. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it's a quadzilla. And the last one I've got here is, I think, watching the Bunnings NPC, someone said to me, I think it might have been you, would they compete playing against the Premiership club? So the NPC teams playing against the Premiership. I would like to say they would.
Yeah.
And after watching the games on the weekend, it was a really, really high level. And even the Heartland Rugby Championship was a good level as well. You know, so I think rugby in New Zealand is strong. It's showing the depth is really, really good. It's just like, you know, guys like Umanga Jensen, guys like...
Yeah, but I'm sorry, the depth of rugby is really good, but the depth of really good players is that good.
What do you mean?
I mean, like, you know, the attractive rugby is going down into, you know, Super Rugby, NPC, Heartland.
Yeah.
But, you know, we sort of say that, but yet the All Blacks, you know, I mean... We're obviously a good team, but we're not amazing at the moment. And we don't have that sort of depth. You know, we spoke about, right, who have we got at 10? You know, who have we got at 9? Things like that.
You make a good point, but I think that's more to do with the coaching than it is the, you know, the rugby in itself.
Yeah, but then you could say that about Heartland, right? The coaching's not that good at Heartland because we don't have an amazing 10 at All Blacks. Or, you know, we don't have great depth at 9 or something like that.
You're saying we don't have great depth in the All Blacks, but in reality...
I mean, we do. We kind of do, but I think there's some positions where we don't.
You've got Bowden, who's exceptional. Richie Mwanga, who's exceptional.
Okay.
But I get it that underneath them, there isn't the next generation coming through.
Exactly, that's what I mean. And that's what we, you know, we don't have an amazing young gun where it's like, oh, like watch out for him in a couple of years.
Yeah, like we've always kind of had that, haven't we?
Yes.
Even when guys like Stephen Brett were around, Stephen Brett never played for the All Blacks, but you could see him playing for the All Blacks.
Yes.
Yeah, so yeah, good. But I'm looking at that NPC and I'm saying, you know, if they pick the right players, we'll be good. For a long time to come. My biggest thing is Umanga Jensen, where's he going to go? Because
he'll go to Europe.
He's going to go to Europe and make some money.
Yeah. So
I'm just having a technical...
Are you having a bit of a glitch?
No. Just I'm trying to turn you down and I'm trying to turn me up, but I think I'm turning...
You need to sort it out, Mush.
I do, mate. I do.
Right. Anyway,
we're on to...
Listeners' questions. You're speaking about this, aren't you?
No, you go for it, mate, because I'm just going to sort this out.
You're going to sort it out. Okay. Doesn't say who it's from, so I'm guessing it's Twitter.
It's the Razzler Dazzler.
Oh, is it the Razzler Dazzler? Jeepers. Hope you're doing well, Razzler. If Bowden and Geordie are now the main... 10 and 15, with Richie coming off the bench for Bowden, but they will keep Geordie on for the full 80 because they love his range of kicking.
Good point.
Yeah, makes point, a very good point. But yeah, also Razzler Dazzler makes a good point, which McKenzie can do as well. He's got a big toe for a little man.
Does he have a big toe for a normal person, though? He's got a big toe for a little man.
I think he's got a big toe for a normal person, yep. But it's not okay. as big.
No, it's not as big as
no.
Geordie's.
No.
Humongous boot, really.
Will he be a replacement winger off the bench? Where he can play more of a roaming playmaker role? I guess so. But who?
He's mate. If I was him, I'd be looking for.
I'd be going elsewhere.
I'd be going elsewhere because
it breaks my heart to say it.
It
because
does.
I love him at the Chiefs, but he is now
going to
be the second class All Black. He's going to be second class All Black. So he's going to be on the back burner, really, isn't he?
I don't even think he'll make the bench because what will happen is, unless they start someone like Will Jordan, then Geordie's going to start at 15. Bowden's going to start at 10. Potentially, do they then not put Richie Mwanga in the squad and play McKenzie there? And that is an option. That is a genuine option. But I think they won't because I think they like what Richie Mwanga can bring.
Yeah.
Or they go Mwanga starting in, a bit like Mertz and Spencer when they did that. So unless he gets a bench spot because they're not playing Mwanga,
then
he's got no chance. Because
with an injury.
Yeah, but you won't, mate. There's no point sticking around.
No, you're right. No, you're not sticking around to wait for someone to be injured.
You've still got Will Jordan that wants to play at fullback, that can play at fullback, who can play on the wing.
True, yeah. You've got Havili, who could probably drop back as well.
Havili, who's playing at 12. We've got guys that can fill in at fullback. We've got guys that can arguably fill in at 10.
Yeah.
So is he good enough to play on the wing? My argument is that he's not. But, I mean, I'd like to see him play on the wing, but you've got a little man called Sivu Rees who can play that role arguably better than anyone else in the world. Oh, apart from Colby. Oh.
Rico Ioane could step out, go wing.
He's
chopping and changing, which I'm not really that keen on. But
no, but I just think that there's, unfortunately, he's got to look in the mirror and go, Geordie's taking his chance. It hurts me to say it.
I know.
He's taking his chance. And I think in the modern way of playing rugby, that high ball that goes up,
he's good under it because he's got the height as well.
Geordie being like 7'5", just massively helps him out. And McKenzie, the fantastic player that he is, unless they're going to give him that spot as an absolute, like, because when he comes on, he's unbelievable.
Yeah,
and he changes the game. I don't see it going his way, mate.
No. Although he could be used. Yeah, for 10 fullback. Is he your utility back like Beauden Barrett used to be?
I just think that other players do it better than him, utility wise.
Well, Richie Mwanga is not much of a utility. No, I would start Richie though.
That's the thing, isn't it?
And then Beauden, like, anyway.
Beauden can drop back to fullback.
Yeah,
Richie is a 10.
Yeah,
so. But you've got that cover at 10 then off the bench.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Whereas if you don't put Richie Mwanga on your bench and you've got McKenzie, then you've got a 15 playing at 10. So it's a bit messy. Mate, my question to you in relation to that story, thank you very much, the Razzler, the Dazzler. Who have been the best players to never or very rarely play international rugby? I've just gone New Zealand, but I have thought of possibly a couple from overseas.
So I saw your list, and then I put down Jonah Lomu.
Yeah, I hadn't thought about that, but you're right.
Yeah,
he could have played a lot more rugby.
He played a bit, but he got dropped because of his fitness. He then had his illness, came back, but that was patchy.
Yeah.
And then he stopped for good, international rugby anyway, because his fitness wasn't there. He moved to Europe, I think.
He went to the Cardiff Blues, actually.
So imagine if he hadn't had that illness. Imagine if he was fit 24/7,
He would have broken all the records, wouldn't he?
He would have broken tries. A lot of bones as well. Yeah. A lot of teeth.
Yeah, Cat wouldn't be playing, would he?
No.
He would have been put off a long time ago. I put down here Carlos Spencer.
Yeah.
Because with Mertz.
King Carlos.
They could never make the mark. It's a bit like Beauden and Richie.
Yeah.
It's a very similar situation. Nick Evans, because Dan Carter held that spot.
Yeah.
He was a fantastic player that never really got the chance to play for New Zealand.
And then he came over to Europe.
And ripped it up.
Oh, my gosh.
Ripped it up.
He did, didn't he?
Glenn Osborne.
Yeah.
Glenn Osborne was the fullback before Cullen. And then with Cullen playing, no one had a look in, did they?
Well, maybe it's a bit like McKenzie.
And that's the point. Yeah. You know, McKenzie could be one of these that goes to Europe, absolutely, you know, sets
lights
the world alight.
Yeah.
And we're thinking, Lamape.
Lamape's another one.
Is another one. But I kind of think that he was given enough opportunities. He just never really took them.
No.
And I would have stuck with him more than they did. Maybe
yeah,
there's something about Lamape that just
maybe
wasn't
he's
quite
just,
right.
Maybe he's just not a coach, like a coachable. Maybe he's not that coachable.
Yeah. I agree. I'm just trying to think of another, like Johnny Wilkinson.
He was injured a lot.
He was injured a lot, could have played a lot more. But when he was playing, obviously no one else could play in that position.
No.
There was a guy called Charlie Hodgson, who was a hell of a player.
Oh, really?
Who never really got the chance to play for England. Just came off the bench a few times. But,
yeah.
You know, Johnny Wilkinson was so good off the tee and conducted the game so well. They dare not take him off. It's not like Bowden plays 60 minutes, they bring on Ritchie. Change of the game. It was literally like, well, we can't take Johnny off because he's the
big,
one.
A massive hole now. No one's going to be able to kick.
Who's going to drop kick? And England, the way England played, was always close.
Yeah.
You know, well, they never won by 40.
No.
So they always needed to have him on the pitch to make sure he kicked the goal that they needed to win.
Right. Well, my question to you is, if you were the ABs coach, who would you drop from the rugby championship team? Or squad?
Okay. It's a very, very tough one because...
Mate, there's one that comes to mind. And
Anton Leonard Brown.
Finlay Christie.
Finlay. Yeah, but I think that's short-termism anyway. You know, I don't think they ever thought that Finlay Christie would make it all the way through. They're just giving him some experience. Anton Leonard Brown, unfortunately...
I'm sorry, but you should not make... The All Blacks just, oh yeah, we'll give them a bit of experience.
No, it's equal opportunities for gingers as well. Ninjas. Anton Leonard Brown.
Would you drop him?
George Bridge, I think.
Yeah.
I know that there's one ball. I know we can't, but, you know, you've got so many good winners. I would just love to see Lester Fainuku.
Yeah.
That's what I want to see. I want to see Lester play another absolutely amazing season at 13.
Yeah.
For Crusaders.
Is he going to though?
And he won't, will he? They won't put him.
Why not?
Because they've got Braden Enor.
Oh,
or as I like to call him,
He needs to go. He's another
Braden
one.
Braden Enor.
Because you've got Havili there.
Imagine like that.
Havili.
Right, donkey.
Yes, well done. But you've got Havili and then Lester Fainuku.
Yeah, I just think.
Imagine those two in the midfield for Canterbury. Or the Crusaders.
And this is what I'm saying about Umunga Jensen. If you look at him now, you're thinking, wow, you know, he's a specimen now.
Yeah, but the thing is that they're all right in the NPC. Let's see if it's transferred to Super Rugby.
To Super Rugby. But it often is. It often is. We often see the NPC shows up talent that takes over Super Rugby as well.
Yes.
I don't think there's a huge difference between the two. As it, you know, one-off games, yes. But if they're doing it over a full season, they tend to do it well in Super Rugby as well. Yeah, that'd be mine. I'm just trying to think who else I would, and nothing's really coming to mind.
No.
I thought some of their selectors were interesting. They didn't really give a lot of players a go.
No.
So therefore, you know.
We didn't get to see them.
No, but yeah. I mean, Finlay Christie, when you've got Aaron Smith back. Do you know what I think is interesting is you got Mwanga, who up until staying at home was All Blacks 10.
Yeah.
And he stays at home and now he's out of the picture.
Yeah.
You know, it's
ruthless, he's not out of the picture though.
Yeah,
is he?
But no one's talking, I mean, no one's arguing who's the best 10 anymore. They're all like, oh, Bowden Barrett. Bowden Barrett, Geordie Barrett kicks the goals. Happy days. And I kind of agree. We're going to finish off the show with our quiz questions. Now, I have to admit that I haven't actually prepared any questions for Toby, but you're going to go first, and as you go,
You've got to answer them as well.
Yeah, I'm gonna try and answer them.
Right, here is my first question to you, Damien. Who scored the most points in the rugby championship?
Do I have some options?
Yes, you've got four. Geordie Barrett, Quade Cooper, Pollard, and Andrew Callaway.
Pollard. I think it's Pollard. I think it's Pollard because I think I remember them in the last game saying he kind of got
the highest.
So I think it's Pollard.
You sure?
No.
Okay. But is that the one you're going with? Sorry.
I'm going to go with Pollard. Yeah.
Okay. You are correct.
Brilliant.
So he's 66 points. Geordie Barrett on 53. Quade Cooper 47. Which I was quite surprised about.
Considering you didn't play the whole of
the Rugby
Championship, yeah.
And then Andrew Callaway, he was on 35, and that's just because he scored 7 tries.
That's amazing, that's though, isn't it? 7 tries. I think the nearest was 3.
Yes.
Otherwise. Okay, Tobe, so my questions are all about the Six Nations. So...
The Six Nations? Are you joking?
I know you're an expert on Six Nations. They're pretty easy, okay? So, in this year's Six Nations, who was the top point scorer? Was it Johnny Sexton, Owen Farrell, Dan Bigger, or Finn Russell?
Who won it?
Who won?
I think it's Dan Bigger.
You think it's Dan Bigger?
Yeah, Wales won, so I'm going to go Dan Bigger.
You're wrong.
Am I?
It's Johnny Sexton.
Oh.
It was Johnny Sexton, 65 points.
Really?
Compared to Owen Farrell's 50 and Dan Bigger's 36.
Was he injured?
Well, such a long time ago.
I know. you've literally thrown me under the bus.
Who's the tallest lock in the Six Nations?
I don't. You've been there. You've given me all those types of questions.
I know, so you're throwing me under the bus here. Right, your second question now. What was the difference between the team with the most tries and the team with the least amount of tries in the rugby championship? Was the difference 15, 23, 17, or 12?
Okay, so...
And you get an extra point if you can name the top and the bottom.
I reckon Australia scored the most tries.
Okay.
I mean, Callaway scoring 7.
I know.
I'm going to say, so go through those.
15, 23, 17 and 12.
I would have normally said 12.
Okay.
But I'm going to go for the one just above that.
Okay.
At 15.
Okay.
Because Callaway getting 7 himself, did then the rest of the team get significantly more than that?
Well, they did score a few tries. But remember, extra point for who was at the top and who was at the bottom?
Yeah, Argentina.
Argentina at bottom.
And Australia at top.
Okay.
But I might go for 12.
Oh.
Is it 15 or 12?
You tell me, Mush.
I'm going to go 15.
Okay.
Because just the way you're talking to me now. Makes me think I'm right.
Final answer.
Mate.
Okay, so the top was not Australia.
Oh.
It was New Zealand.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Bottom was Argentina, and the difference was 23.
Oh, my God.
I know. Yeah.
So now, how many did they get? 28. They got 5.
Argentina got 5 tries.
I thought they might have got like 7.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is amazing, isn't it?
Hmm.
Because I didn't think New Zealand really.
No, I would have said Australia as well.
Maybe that I'm being blindsided because of how well they finished. When New Zealand didn't finish as well. Because, you know, New Zealand
roles
started.
Yeah, were reversed, weren't they?
Yeah, New Zealand started well against the Aussies.
Yeah, true.
Mate, tries.
Okay. What, in the Six Nations?
In the Six Nations.
Oh, yeah, I remember it well.
This is terrible questions. I do apologize. Who scored the most tries in Six Nations, this year's Six Nations? Is it Bryce Doolan, Anthony Watson, Van der Merwe, Doohan, Vandermeer, or Lewis Reese Zammit?
I think it's Zammit.
Final answer.
I'm going to go with Zammit.
You're wrong.
I'm wrong.
Yeah, it's Duan Vandermeer from Scotland. 5 tries. Lewis Reese Zammit is 4. Watson's 4. And Bryce Dulan is 3.
Only 5 tries.
Yeah, I kind of feel like I've ripped you off today.
You've thrown me well and truly under the bus. But you've still won.
I'll still take the points,
still,
mate.
A win's a win. You got to slog it out, eh? You got to slog it out.
You got to graft.
Who has
in,
the like? Longest toenails in the All Blacks?
Who is the longest in the showers?
Oh.
Who has the longest baby's arm with an apple?
Oh, mate, why are you being? We're a family show.
Yeah, the kids won't understand anything.
Fair,
we're bringing the kids into it.
Yeah, exactly.
Apple, one of your 5 a day.
Oh, village. Oh, absolutely village. Oh.
Mate, as always.
Oh, it's always been a pleasure. Never a chore.
Well.
Always a chore.
Always a chore. Very rarely a pleasure. But it has been today. Mate, as always, it's been a pleasure. Thank you very much for listening. If you want to support us, like, subscribe, write a review for us.
Definitely. Email in. We love hearing your emails.
Love.
Twitter.
And tell us some embarrassing stories about rugby. That's going to be our new little segment, embarrassing stories about rugby.
Yes.
Whether that's you're embarrassed about your son, you're embarrassed about your mum, shouting from the sideline.
True. Did you know once I played a game and I think the ball, I must have passed the ball and it just sort of flopped out. And
What flopped out? Which one?
The baby, yeah.
Which ball?
I gotcha. And I swore, and I was like, oh, sorry, mum. And she was like, it's okay. Don't worry, play on. And I was like, I was honestly pooing myself because I thought she was going to smack me.
Have you ever called the referee dad?
No, never. Have you?
Oh. Have you ever called your teacher dad or
yes,
mum?
Yes, I have, mum, yeah. I think it was mum, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Embarrassing, that is. Embarrassing.
Brilliant. Right. Until next time.
Catch you later.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.